in Bremen is not only here, of course. We have four congregations in this house, but we're also part of the wider body of Christ in Bremen. And this week we particularly celebrate that. This church is part of the Bremen Evangelical Alliance. I think that's about 17 or 20 churches, isn't it? Something like that. More like 30. Okay, 30 churches in Bremen. And so to launch this special week, in fact, last year was a very special time, I think, for the Allianz, in that as we did the turning together, we did evangelism together, God has used that to really grow us more together. I'm really enjoying even closer brotherhood with the other pastors of the Allianz, and a lot of us are getting to know brothers and sisters together as we go on mission together. That's very exciting. So yesterday, there were about 30 of us out on the street, and 12 people became Christians on the streets of Bremen yesterday. Every month we're doing this, so you can join us every month. We'll put the dates in the diary, in the church diary. And we're especially thrilled that today Brother Ingo is here. Ingo is well known to many of us. He's been a pastor in the Paulus Gemeinde for more than 20 years, I think. Is that right? And 24, and he's been a very, very dear friend to IBC. He's preached here, I think, many times. And Ingo, you're also the vice chair of the Allianz, so we're very grateful for all that you do to help us to be together and to do our mission together. I know that's you put a lot of work into that. I just want to say thank you, because it comes from your heart, I know, because you love Jesus. But that's inspiring, so just want to say thanks for that. And let's pray for you. Father, we thank you for our family, the body of Christ in Bremen, and we thank you for all the different churches. And we thank you for this chance as different pastors go to different churches today to bring your word. Thank you for what you are saying to your house in Bremen today. And thank you that you have brought Ingo to be your spokesman to us today. We ask that you'd help each of us to hear you, Lord Jesus, speak to us from your word by your spirit. So bless Ingo, fill him with your spirit and free him to share what you want to say to us today. In the name of Jesus Christ. And bless him in his service in our town and in his ministry in his church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Okay, first we need to correct something. I'm not very happy that there was not a single reaction after Paul said there's 12 people coming to know the Lord Jesus and becoming Christians yesterday. If that isn't exciting to us, since this is a miracle, 12 miracles happened yesterday. This is an amazing story in each life that has been changed and eternity changed. So we need to really be in awe and excited about what God is doing. And I'm especially excited to see some of you guys from the IBC being part of this movement, The Turning. From September on till now, we have seen more than 700 people come to know the Lord, praying the prayer of giving their lives to Jesus. We don't know where everybody is right now. We are not in touch with all of them. There's people from other cities that came here to go for a soccer team and gone home as a Christian, brother and sister in Christ. So we're not in touch with them, but God knows every single soul. And this is exciting to see something that is happening, has not been happening in this in this way for many, many years. So please be excited and come and join us if you like. There's a lot of English-speaking people out there that probably need to hear about Jesus from you. And if I understand my Bible right, Jesus is not just for me. Good news is always for sharing. The salt needs to go out of the salt shaker. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God being growing and the gospel being spread through your mouths and through your hearts and through your lives. So let us be in prayer about this and just come and see. There's your pastor knows all the dates. So every month we're going out. In August we will have another week every day going out on the streets to share the gospel with people. So prepare your hearts and prepare your church. Because if these people come, there needs to be some change to be done. There needs to be some welcoming be done. There needs to be some new small groups being started to help new believers to come to an understanding of Jesus. Well, it's not about the turning this morning, but you can see I'm excited. And it's not this morning, it's the afternoon already. And it's, as Paul said, it's on my heart to not just see my church in Habenhausen or my denomination, but to see the kingdom of God coming together. There's a secret of the unity of brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what church they worship, no matter what way they worship, no matter what is their main topic they talk about, but it's, if it's not Jesus, then we're missing out the most important thing. And there's much more that unites us than what separates us and what differentiates us. And I like to come here very, very often because I like the international community, fellowship of people from all over the world. I really like to see Asians and Africans and Germans and wie nennt man die Europäer? Europeans. Doesn't sound good to peons. And Americans, whatever, wherever you come from, even Germans are here. And that's great. So in heaven, we have to celebrate, and we will celebrate together. So it's exciting to me to see something of what heaven will be like in your church already replaced. Wonderful. Okay. This week has a topic. It is about pilgrims and foreigners being on their way. And, of course, this subject was picked from people who are responsible in the Evangelical Alliance of Europe and thinking about what is a topic that is important to our nations. And it's, of course, about being on our way. Lots of you can relate to the subject, being a pilgrimage or being a foreigner in a foreign land. And so it is a good choice to pick the story of Abram and his calling to start this week. So it's about Abram and the subject. I think we have it here on... Do we have it? It's about Abram, and I call it being on the move, a faith that's on the move. So Christian faith, even Old Testament, we see whenever there was faith, there was something was moving. Something happened, something was changed. And I believe that God wants us to be on the move. First of all, to be moved, but then to be on the move. Not to just sit in our churches, not to just sit on our seat, not to just worship our worships, but to be on the move for the Lord, for the kingdom, for the God Most High. Not just a being somewhere in a place on a certain day like Sunday afternoon 6 or 4 p.m., but to really be moved and to be on the move for the kingdom of God. So, like Abram, I will talk about a faith that's on the move. Is there anything that could really get your attention? Sometimes I believe church, we are so used to certain things, like whenever we open the Bible, we know now is Bible time, and we even quote the Bible. We know where to open our Bibles. We probably even know the verse, and I'm 100% sure most of you have heard the verses that I'm about to read and that are set for the day. But is there anything that could still touch us and move us and to be eventually moved to tears and be excited about what happens if we open the Word of God? I believe whenever we do, we hear from God Most High. We hear from the Creator of heaven and earth. It's not a normal thing to open your Bible. In fact, many Christians would like to have a Bible. Many peoples and people's groups do not even have the Bible in their own language. I brought with me today a friend from Indonesia, Cornelius Bawias. He is a missionary with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and he in terms goes to a little village in Irian Jaya, West Papua New Guinea, and he will share a little bit about taking my sermon time to give a testimony about how God was moving him and how exciting it is to have the Word of God being preached to people who have never seen a Bible, who have never heard the Word before. So none like us, and hopefully this will be exciting to you also. It's exciting to me. And then we'll have Jonathan. Ah, here it is. I didn't know him until he wrote me about the service today, and when I sent him my concept and the Bible reference, he said, "Oh, I could talk about that." Now I said, "Okay, you will talk about this. You'll have 3 to 5 minutes for my sermon to talk about your story, how this is real in his life, and how God has moved him." So this is going to be, if you see three people here, there are three people here. You're not dreaming. And I don't change every 10 minutes. It's different people sharing the same good news. But let's read first those verses from the Old Testament, the calling of Abraham. And if you have your Bible with you, please turn with me to Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in all of your family of the earth, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Lord, as we open your word, we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to open our hearts and minds to what you want us to hear this morning, this afternoon, in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I started my Christian education in Bible school in Germany, and back then in the 80s, end of the 80s, there was a teacher I had a great admiration to. He was the most organized person I knew. He was very structured. He was very planning far ahead. His lectures were flawless. It was just an amazing professor of theology. And at the same time, since I'm a little chaos, I was scared of him because he was so organized. Everything was said. He knew when he got up. He was perfect in his quiet time. He always went to bed at 10 o'clock. He had his sermon prepared ready on Saturday night before he went to bed. So, and it was in one of his Saturday night routines. He was already in his pajamas going to bed. His sermon was in his suitcase and ready to go next morning to preach in a church somewhere else, and when God spoke to him. Now, this is a non-charismatic, evangelical, true believer, conservative part. And for some reason, God needed to change something to his routine. And so after 10 o'clock, when he was already in bed praying his prayers, God told him to go to the train station in Lemgo, which is 2 hours south of here. Now, he was a little bit confused. He has never experienced the voice of God audible to him. He was doubting that he really heard the voice of God, and what stupid idea to go to Lemgo train station at 10 o'clock in the evening, because there's no much trains coming in and out anymore. There was not many people. He had no clue what this meant. But for some reason, he couldn't fall asleep. So he was turning back and forth, you know, and staying with this idea if this was his own thinking or if really God spoke to him. So it happened a second time. Heinz, that's his name. Go to the train station. It took about an hour and a half until he really got up, got dressed, went to the train station, and while he was driving there, just a 10 minutes drive from his house, he's like, "God, this is crazy. What am I doing here?" And but for some reason, he followed this calling and ended up in an almost empty train station hallway. There was just two people sitting on a bench that was located in the middle of the train station, and so he was like, "Okay, I knew it. I was wrong. This is crazy." Ready to turn around to go to bed, then he said, "Well, God, I give you one more chance. if these people stand and leave, I don't want to stand here, I want to sit. So seconds later, those two people got up, and there was an empty bench out in the middle, so he took a place there and wondered what's coming up next. Well, it didn't take a long time until a young man, sat right next to him. He was smelling, he was sweating, he was very nervous, and so this old man, he is in his 60s, my teacher, kind of took his courage together and said, well, excuse me, this might sound very crazy to you, but I think God sent me here to talk to you. And this young man, he kind of lost everything, he got all pale, looked at my teacher and said, are you serious? Can you repeat that? So he said, well, I think God sent me here to meet you and to talk to you about him. And the next thing that happens really got some attention. He took out a loaded gun and handed it over to my teacher and professor. And he almost dropped it. He's a swift person. He's very organized. And now he had a rifle, some kind of gun in his hand. And he said, what's happening? Well, he said, the young man said, if you would not have come, it's about 5 minutes to midnight. On midnight, I would have shot me. Because there was no reason for me to live. Because I didn't have any faith in God. And I said to God, God, if you are real, then you need to send me someone to talk to me about you. And about the hope that the Christians talk about. Quite a story. Never forget these. What am I saying? I'm not sure if we all may have this kind of an experience, but we should all expect that God is real. And we should all expect that God will at some point talk to us in a very audible, in a very 100% voice, and to tell us something that we're about to do. Probably you have had already this experience and you doubted this is God speaking. I mean, every Sunday when you come to church, there's a good opportunity that God may want to talk to you. Every time you open up his word, it's on his heart to talk to you about the truth in this word, to talk about the lies you're believing in, about the things that are not okay in your life, about sin that is holding you from the life that he wants to give you, about wonders and signs and miracles that he wants to do through you in your life to bless yourself and to bless the world. I believe this is true, and I've experienced it myself. But at the same time, I think we are very much church people, and we are in our routines, and sometimes we don't even expect God to talk to us. We go through the motions, we are Christian-like, we try to live a Christian faith, but Christ is not anymore alive in our hearts. Sometimes in our churches, we do the thing, we do the church, we do the worship, we hear the words, but nothing happens, nothing changes. And I believe there needs to be a change. Now back to Abraham. Abraham, he didn't know God well. He has never been in a worship service. But one moment in time, God speaks to him. And to this man, everything changes after that. In our routine, in our traditions, in our walk and daily life, in our what gives us kind of security day by day routines in life, we need those encounters with God. And I believe God is longing to reach out, reach down to us, reach into our hearts to love and guide us. Abraham was, do you know how old he was when God talked to him? Pardon me? 17? 70. Right, he was 75. So anybody here 50 years of age? Can I see you? Just confess. Wow. Some gray hair. 55. Who's with me? I'm 52, so I need to... 60. Anybody here 60? 65? 70? Anybody here 70? No. But you're 70? No, young man. Well, imagine now, 10, 15 years from now, when you prepare for retirement, when you feel like my house shall be paid for and everything shall be settled for my funeral and ready to go home, then God calls you for the biggest miracle in your life. Abraham was 75 years of age to prepare for a journey of another 40 years of God's work, putting miracles in his life. So he set an example and he took a step of faith that would change his whole life. So how about you? Are you ready for a change? Are you ready for God to speak to you? It's not me speaking to you, but I hope God challenges you this morning. I always want to say morning. Church is in the morning. See, that's my tradition. Church is in the morning. Now, this is afternoon. But God can and will call you. And God has something for you. I believe that. Because he's your daddy. And he sees all of your life. And it may not be any 40 years you have. Maybe you only have 10 more years on this planet, but why waste 10 years if God has a calling and wants to do something in your life and through your life to be a blessing to all? Because that's what we've read. Blessed to be a blessing. I will bless you. That's Abram's calling. To be a blessing to the nations. I believe God will bless your church. There's nothing that hinders him to love you, to give a lot of blessing and joy and peace and hope and good words and miracles into your life to be a blessing for others. Sometimes we lack the second part. We stand before God and say, bless me, Lord. Give me gifts, Lord. I want to sing like him, and I want to play the piano like her, and I want to do the drums like him, and I want to preach like Paul. God, bless me. But it's all for us. Blessed to be a blessing. When God blesses you, there's also some calling for you, this blessing to flow through you into the lives of others. It's not for you. It's always meant to bless others. So how about you? Are you already in a church routine, in a Christian life routine, or are you ready to see miracles? Are you ready to give your life a new turn, to give God a chance to speak to you and change your life? You probably all know the story about Apollo 13, the rocket that was going up in the 60s to see the moon. I'm not sure how this movie is called in English. Apollo 13? Is this called Apollo 13? Well, hey, perfect translation. Well, if you've seen the film with Tom Hanks, I love that movie, then you know a little bit more. Houston, we've got a problem. This was quite a story about this skyrocket that wants to go to the moon. There was problems. Houston, we've got a problem. This is almost a word that we say when we know something is out of shape here. Something is going very wrong. And ich dachte, du bringst mir das Wasser. Victor, pass auf. Ich sage ja zu deutschem Wasser. Guck mal hier. A servant of the Lord. Thank you. Das war genau richtig. Der hat eine prophetische Gabe, der Junge. Prophetic gift. Houston, we've got a problem. After an explosion on the spaceship, the astronauts were in deadly danger. There was no way for them to survive. Whatever they would do up there in sky, they needed to return. And for this return, they had to work on the ship to shift the whole thing to get back down to Earth without being burned in the, wie nennt man das? In the atmosphere. So for 39 seconds, they only needed 39 seconds of engine power to make the change. And even though it was back in the 60s and they didn't have computers like today, they made it happen. Quite a story how NASA ended up doing the turn and bringing back the ship and the astronauts safe home to planet Earth. Quite a miracle. So I believe something like this needs to be happening in our lives. If we want to experience change, there needs to be a correction of the way where we are going to right now, in the routine we are ending up. In the life of Abraham, that was the moment when God talked to him and when he was ready to be obedient. And this is probably the first thing that needless to be mentioned, God needs to take the initiative. Sometimes we believe we need to do something. Sometimes we are so busy doing things that we are not even ready to listen to when God speaks. We miss his calling. We miss his silent voice. We miss him and his overall calling to our lives. So the biggest change is that we come to a point that we are ready and accepting and in a prepared heart to let God start the initiative. That's the first. God needs to start the initiative. Sometimes we believe it's all about us and we need to do something, but that's wrong. God needs to speak to us first. And there's so many people on their way doing things, sometimes even taking the possibility for others to work in different areas because they are doing it and believing I'm doing this for God, but God never talked. So beginning is that we need to wait for God to talk to us. He's going to start the initiative, and then the adventure is going to happen. Then the adventure is going to take place. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, if you follow me on that, Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, I'll give you a chance to open up your Bible. There's a question about the faith. What is the faith? And it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things that are visible. And then it ends up, the whole chapter talks about all the heroes of Old Testament, Abram being one of them. Please read that passage tonight to just be in awe about how God always started like this. He talked, he revealed something, and the faith is something that convinces our hearts about invisible things that God wants to place in our lives. So God starts with Abraham talking to him, and that's his story. Verse 1, we can see the verse again here. The Lord speaks to Abram, go out of your country, leave everything, and go into the land that I am about to show you. Now, I already announced him, a friend of mine who has experienced something like Abram. Corny, would you like to come and share how God's calling came into your life and how you were obedient to follow that call and what it brought to change and to the ministry of the people of Obuki?
Thank you so much, Pastor Ingo. I really appreciate, but I don't know how can I use 5 minutes because I've been serving the Lord for almost and more than 21 years. I'm Cornelius Bavias. I'm married to Heike Bavias, and we have 4 children, Hannah, Sarah, and David, and Sophia. The first time when I was in, I'm from Indonesia, from Central Sulawesi. You know that Indonesia, we have almost maybe 20,000 islands, and also we have over 700 languages, and it's amazing. The first time when I had a calling from the Lord, when I was with the missionary, I went to visit one of the tribe in Central Sulawesi, the tribe of Lauje, and I saw white people, a Canadian, and I said, how these Canadian, these white people came to serve the people in my place? At that moment, I'm not really understand why Jesus is very important in my life. Until one day, I heard the sermon from Charles Stanley. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. He's really well known. And I really understood that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and Lord. At that moment, I knew Christ, and I said, I want to be just like these white people as well. To be a missionary, but it's not easy. And then after that, I committed myself, and I went to the New Tribes Mission Training in North Sulawesi for 3 years, and also I went to Australia to do the Bible translation course and also linguistics. So I am a Bible translator and also a Bible teacher among the people in Papua. Papua belongs to Indonesia, not belong to Papua New Guinea, because in New Guinea, we have more than 800 languages as well. So, just like Abraham, God called me the first time, and I said, Lord, I want to go, but how? How can I trust you? Because I don't have money. There's no one like the people here and support me. Even when I was at New Tribes Mission Training in North Sulawesi, I didn't have money. I only have maybe it's about 20 euros monthly. That's all. How can I come to Papua to serve you? And also I said, I pray also for my friend to go with, but it didn't happen. And I said, Lord, I go by myself, but I trust you. So someone gave me, it's about maybe 100 euro. That's all that I have. From Central Sulawesi, I have to use by boat. It's about 1 week to go to Papua. Know nothing about Papua. Papua is different. Yeah. I'm a people from Central Sulawesi. It's different in Papua. The language is different. And I said, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to do what you want in my life. I trust you. And you guys know that. Until this moment, I'm still working in Obokwe people, and until this moment, the God Yahweh Elohim provided me. Until I come to Germany, never in my mind to marry a German, never. But if we trust to follow God and to do what He wants in this life, we are representative of Him. We are the ambassador for Him. And also in Obokwe, I started 20 years ago to learn the language, write the phonology, write the grammar, and also try to teach them with the Bible chronological lessons from the creation until Jesus, Lord Jesus, come up to heaven. And recently, 2 years before, there are almost 50 people right now that really, truly know Jesus Christ.
They're learning, yeah.
It is not easy because I have to observe their culture. I have to, to be with them. Even I have to work cutting the big trees, making the airstrip, because there's no other possibility to go to visit the village from the city. I have to use a small plane with Wycliffe. It's about maybe 1 hour by small plane. Only 700 kilograms. That's all. There's no special way or other way to reach these people. It's only by this small plane. And sometimes there's no connection, maybe about more than 2 months, and no connection with my wife and my children here. But I know that when I pray, God sees them. I can tell you more, but I don't know. But maybe next time, the Lord willing, maybe if you have time, I can share you. With you, and then I can talk, I can show a picture. But know that if God call you, and He will help you to provide you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Corny. Oh, I don't need this. I have something. Thank you, Corny. Yeah, can you feel his heart is full of stories? So probably you want to invite him to come and share for a whole service. I guess you're willing to come, huh? Brother?
Yes.
Okay, Abraham. He is ready to hear. And that's the first thing. Are you ready to hear when God calls? Are you really willing in your heart to be obedient to the calling of God? Because without that, God probably don't show you his ways if he feels you're not ready to be obedient. Two things Corny has already mentioned. The faith. What is faith? Some people think, oh, the faith, and it's so far away. It's an idea of ideas, and there's so many different faiths. But in our definition, in the definition of the Bible, faith means trusting Jesus or trusting God and his word. It's as easy as it is. If God speaks, we better listen. If God spoke to you, you better do what he told you to do. Sometimes we are praying and praying and asking God for this and that. We have certain kind of concepts of how God would speak, but we have to realize God spoke already. Probably you're praying for your job or the perfect wife or the perfect husband, and you pray for certain things that are important to you, but if you go and seek your heart, you realize God spoke to me to say, I'm sorry to the brother in church and to ask for forgiveness because there's no peace between you. How can you expect God speaking to you about other things if he already spoke to you about certain things that you didn't do? God is a good teacher. He doesn't give us second step if the first step is not cleared out. If you are not in peace with people, if God spoke to you to be obedient to say, I'm sorry, or to confess your sin over certain things at the cross to take the first step, then how expecting God to speak in other areas of your life? It's not happening. So if you're here today and you realize there are certain things God talked to me already and I didn't do it, why don't you make a step of faith now and say, today I'm going to call my mom and say I'm sorry. Or today I'm going to walk up to this person in this church and say, well, I talked about you and I spread a lie about you, and that's not fair. God convinced me of this sin. Please forgive me. And let me go to the people that I lied to and clear the things up. And so this is something that God will do in our midst before he sends us out to do great missions or follow a certain calling like Abram did. He wants to remind us to moments when he spoke to you, when the Holy Spirit oppressed something on your heart. If he said to you, well, you've got to learn to give and to share your money also, not just your time in church, but your tithing. God spoke to you, do it. You will never lose. You will win. And God will reveal himself to you. There's so many lectures and lessons God may have already talked to you. And my plea is, do it. Be obedient. Trust him that you always will be a winner when you be obedient to what he already talked to you. So Abram was ready. His heart was ready. His mind was ready. You know, he was 75 years of age. Everybody of us would probably have said, well, Abram, you had a great life. You are here in Haran. This is your home. There's nice friends and a community of people that you like. Just stay. You are too old to go out for something like this. But there was good reason for him to do it, but because God spoke to him, he moved out. So second subject I want to talk about, or second headline I want to give you is, it is not always easy. That's very simple, huh? To believe in God and to follow his calling, it's not always easy. And no one told us that a Christian life is easy. No one said that the Christian walk and faith in this world that doesn't ask for God, that doesn't believe in the Bible anymore, will be easy or accepted, or people would applaud us and say, hey, cool. So eventually there are people who say, oh, I'm very impressed about your faith, but they don't care. But we understand it's not always easy to follow his word. What God asked of Abram is unbelievable. It's How can you do that to an old man like him? Go into a foreign country that I will show you. That easy? A country that he didn't know? A language that he didn't speak? No people there? Without a roadmap? No navigation guiding him? No Google Earth? See, we wouldn't even plan for our next holidays like this. But Abram was asked to spend his new and future life in this way. Just go and trust me. But sometimes it's the same way for us. We cannot plan our lives out like we do on our vacation trips or our holidays. And sometimes there's fear, and sometimes there are doubts. And the devil wouldn't be the devil if he would not try to mess it all up. Eventually, there's even brothers and sisters in church who tell you, can't be God speaking to you like this. Just stay where you are. Stay safe. But then we are not moving. Like, can you picture Peter? Peter, he's the guy from the New Testament who God helped him to overcome a physical law. You know, when Jesus said, come on, walk on water, and Peter got out of the boat, and he really walked on the water, that wasn't possible. From our physics in school, we would say, there's some teachers here, I know, it's not possible. But God is beyond physics. God is into miracles. And if he calls you out of your boat of safety, out of your boat of comfort, out of your comfort zone, then he has a way of letting you walk on water. Do you believe that? So if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of your boats. Say that again. If you want to walk on water and experience God's miracles, then you have to get out of the boats. You have to get out of the boats. Okay? Abraham, he was obedient to the voice of God. He had to come to this point of decision, and he did. And he walked, and he won. 75 years of age, with all the people who didn't believe that this is a good idea. And one more problem that he had. You see, the promise of God, can we go back to the verse? The promise of God for him, not just to go to a foreign land, but also to have a great nation, there was a little problem. Do you know his problem? He didn't have a child. Ay, ay, ay. 70 years of age, 70 years old, and his wife was barren. She couldn't have babies. They have tried many times. Definitely, that would have been normal to have children at the age of 75, but they didn't. So a next miracle is waiting for them, and a next step of faith. Going out to become a great nation? Ha, ha, ha. But it happened. Read your Bible. When God promises something, when God calls you to do something crazy, he's going to have a way to go there, and he's going to help you to see that his promises are never in vain. There may be obstacles. There may be turns that you don't like. There may be holdbacks, but God always comes with you to his goals. Do you know the story of Horatio Spafford? I've heard the name. He was a lawyer in Chicago. In 1847, so a couple of years ago, he received the news that his wife and his four children, coming back from France to America, were in a crash of two ships, and the ship sank within minutes, and the four children of this brother in Christ died. Only his wife was saved, and she, back to Cardiff, sent just a little line, saved alone. When he had to face this troublesome situation, when he had to hear the news and feel the loss and face that his whole family and almost his wife died and that so much hardship was in his life, he wrote a song, and this one you probably like. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot that has taught me to know or say, it is well with my soul. No one told us it's always easy to follow God. No one said it's always everything will be fine. But God always holds us, and he gives us what we need. Faith moves people and churches. And like Abram, we can experience that. At this point, Jonathan, I would like you to share what God has put on your heart for this service and share your story about how God called you and how he blessed you at the same.
If Abraham was 75, I was 19 years old. And it was exactly these words as I was sitting inside this very big church of ours in Canada. I was sitting on the balcony doing the lighting and the visuals for three morning services from 7 until 1 in the afternoon, just any other Sundays. And that Sunday was exactly this passage. And I sat there contemplating a few options that we were discussing at home of going back to our other home nations, that is France. And we thought about it, and it didn't seem very logical. And I sat there for three services. And this passage was preached to me. And three times it hit my heart so hard that by the time I came out of service, I went and saw my mom. I said, I think I need to go. And in that sermon, the pastor said, when God speaks, you hear it. You hear it so deeply that will be ingrained into your mind and to your spirit forever. It's not sometimes we come to church and we hear something and say, God spoke, and then next day or next week, what did God say last week? I can't remember. No, it's so deep that it's vivid like yesterday. And so for this passage, when Ingo told me that was going to be the reference, I said, hey, this is like yesterday again. And it has carried me. And to go to a land that was semi-familiar to me, but as a 19-year-old, it was just as foreign as anybody else. I knew the language, but I didn't know how to conduct myself there. I didn't know how to fill out the paperwork. I didn't know how to go line up at the prefecture or equivalents here of the Stadtamt or the Ausländeramt. They look at me, you're a citizen here, but how do you not know how to fill this out? Where have you been all this time? Well, I've been away, but what? So struggling through this, and then still going to school, and so on. But what's really amazing about this promise is that it has continued to carry me through all the different countries I've been to ever since. And it's been 12, 13, 14 years, I lost count now, but every single time this passage has come up, either before I went to the place or as I arrived in the place. This is the first time that this passage has come up in my years here. It's been 6 years. Oh. So it's pretty exciting to hear of this passage and how it surfaces up. And like Ingo has already touched on, it was a call to go somewhere, but not just have a holiday and sit at the beach. There are indications there that are very clear. Be a blessing. What does that mean? Like, I can't be a blessing if I'm just going to stick my head in my books and just study. I had to do something, get involved in the local communities. And that continued on as I graduated from school and went to other places and started to work. That was always continuing. And to a point where when I got really, really sick, and some of you guys will know this, but the nations came to me in that case. They came to me in encouragement and letters and multitudes of ways. They came to me this time, and I said, wow, I'm being blessed. And the promise is a two-way thing. It's God blesses me through this, but through those who bless me, they will equally be blessed. And the bad stuff that people do to me, whatever, God's taking care of it. He said, I will curse them. You don't need to do this. And that last bit that Ingo just touched on is, you will be a great nation. Well, with the struggles I've had with my medical experience, that's going to be a miracle in itself. So it's life in progress, and it's amazing, and we just continue by faith. We hear God, and we just go. There's no possible way to just sit here and contain it. You just go. And by faith, I don't know. I didn't know everything that was going to happen. It's been an amazing journey. Sometimes dangerous, but all in all, really, it's been worth it. It's not a holiday. I don't know when the plane will leave, but when it was time to get on the plane and go, it's truly been a blessing. And I would just encourage you to take that heart. Maybe it is to move, maybe it's not to move, but if God stirs something in you to do something, don't wait tomorrow, because tomorrow's already too late. He's calling us now.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That's so meaningful. That's it's not just in the book. It's not just the past, but it can be everybody of you standing here and sharing a story. And I would strongly encourage you, when you have tea or coffee and food after the service, why don't you tell your story? Don't talk about what all went wrong last week. Don't talk about people that are not here, but talk about those things that you put a step of faith and that God kind of gave you a calling and you did it and you could feel that something is changing. And it's always something big changing. So Abram was obedient. Abram was ready to hear God. Abram was ready to go. And we are expected to do the same. And now, last but not least, is this part, the session about verse 3, that God says, I want to make you a blessing. I will bless you to be a blessing. I've pointed out that already a little bit, and the testimony was in the same direction. But I want to finish up with a story that happened to me. Just 2 days before Christmas, I received a Facebook message, and there was a woman that I didn't keep track on her life for many, many years. I met her on Nikolaus Day on the 6th of December in a store, and I realized her, and we met, and I remembered even her name, but I didn't remember all her story. I just knew that many years ago I could lead her to Christ, and here she was, and we kept each other's addresses, and she sent me this message on Facebook reminding me. She said, I always wanted to thank you for so many years already and want to tell you the story that happened after you and I met for the first time. Now you have to know, she was not a Christian by then. She was extremely down. She was in a closed station in a mental hospital. She has tried to take her life many times. Being 70 or 18 years of age, she had everything that you could imagine in sexual experiences. She had a lot of drugs, and there was a life in the occult and bad spirits chasing her. So she was at the end and extremely suicidal. So her aunt, that I knew just a little bit, told me, can't you go to her and pray with her? And I was like Abram. I said, I'm a youth pastor. That was 20 years ago. I've never done anything. I've never seen a mental institution from the inside, and especially not a closed, closed area. But I did go there, and I knew Jesus is with me, and then she writes to me, you came to me and you talked to me about Jesus. And you shared to me that God can make out of my mess and all the broken things in my life and my heart that was down to the ground, he could pick it all up, all those broken pieces, and put them together and heal my heart and make it new. And then we prayed together. I have cried a lot, and we prayed together, and I accepted Jesus in my life. Many years later, she's writing to me, I wrote a book about this experience and this encounter of Jesus, and my biography was published, and about 120,000 people have read it already. That was in the first few years. Now it's been in the fifth, wie sagt man, Auflage, in the fifth edition, and more than 500,000 people were ready to read her story, and to many of them became Christians. In all over Germany, Österreich, and Switzerland, I could talk about Jesus, and I had the chance to meet some of those women who, because of the book, were changed and found Jesus and a new life in him. So I wanted to thank you for your ministry, Ingo, and for sharing Christ to me. Merry Christmas. Yeah. That's probably my biggest Christmas present ever, to just being reminded. I was obedient to just go, to understand and to trust God that if he sends me to that place, he will help me to do the job, to a good job. And so many years I didn't know what this story went to, but now 20 years later, I could see this story being a life-changing story to many others. And when we go out on the street and share Christ in the turning and we lead people to Jesus, we never know what's going to happen through those people's lives being changed. And now this comes to an end. As Abraham was obedient to God's calling and trusted him to do the rest, I would like to challenge you to be on the move and to allow God to move your heart, to allow God to move you out of your traditions, out of your routines, into a new calling, into a new excitement. If you feel like your Christian life is boring, then this is not from Jesus. Then that's not from the Holy Spirit. Then this is not your calling. Your calling is not to be bored in church, to heat a seat for an hour and a half. But your calling is to change the world. Our calling is to be obedient to what God has in mind for you. And this is always life-changing. And this will always be a blessing to others. Don't just ask for a blessing for yourself. Go into prayer, fast and pray, and ask God, how can I be a blessing to the world? How can I be a life and world changer? That's our calling, church. No less than that. And like Abraham experienced and in the history of this book and his people, we could see it happen. All the obstacles, all the doubts, all the fears were overcome because God always fulfills his promises. Do you believe that? Then go therefore, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to thank you so much, Ingo, and we thank God as well for you. God has been speaking very powerfully. I believe he's confirming things he's been speaking to you about already this year. And it's a great word to begin the year with for us as individuals, also for us as a church. If we're not a church who's on the move, we're not growing, we're not moving forwards. We always need to be on the move, not moving to another country, but moving in our spirit, moving in our growing and hearing God and doing the radical things he's calling us to do. We're going to respond in song, giving our hearts to him. Father, we thank you so much for this word. Many, many good things that we've heard. By your Spirit, we ask that you would seal into each one of us what it is that you have been saying. Confirm those things that we've sensed you saying in the last days or weeks, that we know for sure it's you speaking, and we can therefore take that obedient step. Lord, for those of us who are not sure, we ask for you continue to speak and teach us to recognize your voice. Like Jonathan had it three times in one morning, so you made it so clear to him. We ask that you'd also make it clear to us. For we want nothing else than to hear your voice so that we can obey you. And where we are stubborn, where we are blind, where we are disobedient, where we are dishonoring you, where we are locked in some sin or stronghold, we ask you, have mercy. And we ask you, come and set us free. And yes, we pray that for us as a church too, that we would never be a church that is stuck. Lord God, at the beginning of this year, we say we're going to step into freedom. The freedom of God,
yes,
and the moves of God in our hearts and our lives for all of us, Lord. All of us together, all of us on our individual journeys and our families, the calls that you have for us to serve you in the world, to serve you in the church. Lord, put us all in the right places this year. If we're not in the right place now, move, Lord God, in our hearts so that we can follow the move that you're doing and be just in those right places for all that you're going to do to bring the harvest in and to be glorified in Bremen and in the nations. Lord, we want to be that blessing to the nations that you've called us to be. And you've called us as well, to many of us, to a different strange land, so that we too can be a blessing here to the nations. Lord, have your way, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we are yours, Father. Bless us, we pray, as we seek to be yours. We are offering ourselves to you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand as we sing the song?